Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to the people in the industry to get the inside word on what's happening right now and what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. This week we've partnered up with AMP, who has kindly lent us their expert, Aaron Klee. Now he is the General Manager Investment Management at AMP. He's going to talk us through how it, frankly, feels like the world is falling apart a bit at the moment, and that includes the money world. What can we do about it all?
Making Sense is proud to partner with AMP, making a difference for you and future generations. Visit amp.co.nz today.
Before we get into it, Making Sense is stoked to be supported by KiwiBank. We've teamed up to bring you insight directly from their people, the experts who live and breathe this stuff every day. It's not the outdated stuff that worked 5 years ago. It's what's happening right now in the industry to help you make the most of your money. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi.
Hi, Aaron. Thank you very much for coming on short notice. I have been bombarded with messages about this, so I thought I've just got to get someone into the hot seat to talk about this. So thank you very much. Many questions from the audience about this. I mean, if anyone's been looking at the share market recently, it has been a bit of a sea of red, right? And this has obviously worried my audience. How are you feeling yourself? Are you not loving it, or is it business as usual?
Personally, I'm not too bad at the moment, and that's probably because I've been through many periods like this in my career. I can't count them, and there's probably been periods when I have been quite worried or concerned about markets and what's going on. But right now, this doesn't really feel like some of the tough situations I've experienced in the past, nor it really feels like an environment that's going to be super bad. I can't guarantee that, but it's kind of how I'm feeling at the moment. You might say a sea of red, but you know, I believe that's often what we're fed by the news and the media that we watch and listen to. And that very much focuses on America and the US market. We get a lot of our news from America, but you wouldn't have heard that many other markets have, like Europe, like Asia, and some of the emerging markets have been going quite strongly in recent weeks and months. So the point is that most savers or investors are not exposed to one market. And whilst the United States is the biggest economy and the largest country exposure in most KiwiSaver funds, yeah, 90% of the money that we manage for our customers is in diversified portfolios. And that's where we, you know, exposed to many different share markets, to bonds, to cash, to infrastructure investments, et cetera. But we get a lot of news from the United States, as I mentioned. So globally, it's not a sea of red right now. So actually, I'm sleeping all right.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I have definitely, I mean, I like to sort of hang out on the internet to give me an idea of how everyone is feeling. It's not perfect. The internet is a weird and wonderful place, and you get little silos of where people collect, and you know, it gives you an idea, but not a total one. But I have seen before people saying things like, oh, just chuck all your money into the S&P 500, which for anyone who hasn't kept an eye on that before, you know, that's the 500 biggest companies in the US. And while I know that's been a big performer, exactly to your point, moments like this, the idea of having all of your money just in American companies, just in one country at all, this shows why that's a bit risky, right?
It is. In doing that, you're exposed to one economy, one government, in that case, one president.
Yeah.
And that market can react. And saying that, the last couple of days, the US market has fallen off a bit, but it's still up around 10% in the last 12 months.
Mm.
You know, it's been on the back of a very strong run, the US market. And there are parts of the US that we think will do quite well. Anything to do with technology at the moment, you know, we think that going forward well into the future, that this phenomena of artificial intelligence is just going to carry on and keep delivering, you know, better outcomes for companies. So, yeah, but point being, diversification is always the key.
Fabulous. Okay, well, I like that you've got some positives in there. So we're definitely going to put a pin in that. We're going to come back to it because it's important points. For now, what have been the big things that we've seen the market reacting to? Why have we seen some of these dives around?
I think at the moment markets are nervous. and they're uncertain. And they're uncertain about what's the direction next. And, you know, we've been through a very good period of returns of share markets and markets and investments around the world. But at the moment, every piece of news about a country or government policy or company results is probably being amplified more than normal. And that's because things have been going really well. And, you know, people are looking for signals, or the markets have been looking for signals that the next downturn is starting or is here or is coming. And if you bring things right back to the basics, and it's how I like to think and talk to, you know, our staff and our customers, that up markets are always followed by down markets. Down markets are always followed by up markets. And that's a pretty simple statement, but it's always true. But what we don't know is when that change is going to happen, and, you know, and how quickly it's going to happen. We also know from history that periods of up markets are longer and longer than periods of down markets. Down markets are typically short and sharp, but up periods are generally longer and more protracted. The markets are having this sort of tussle at the moment going, is this the next turning point? And that's why I think all of the announcements and news that are coming out about all sorts of things like tariffs and geopolitics, it's really impacting, you know, quite a lot, because everyone's looking for those signals. Trying to predict those times is fraught with danger. Mm. There's a lot of yo-yoing going on. Yeah, and a lot of it is coming from, you know, announcements from the President of the United States. You know, there's daily talks on tariffs. One day they're on, another day they're off. One day they're 25%, next day they're 50%. It's all over the show, as I said before, because of the news and information that we have. We get it 24/7 now, nonstop. And, you know, that's the same for markets. So, you know, there's a lot of digesting and you get a bit of irrational behavior until people have understood and worked through whatever's been announced. Best advice is to turn the news off.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, I think one of the big things, this is something that surprised me when I first started paying proper attention to the share market, is that sometimes even bad news can be taken well. The share market can respond well to that, as long as there's certainty that the share market just loves knowing what's coming next, because then you can plan, because then businesses can start, you know, being like, well, that's not great, but here's what we're going to do about it. Meanwhile, the big word at the moment is uncertainty, which the market just hates. Good or bad, they don't love not being sure what's coming next. So always hard to predict the future, obviously. Let's just caveat that. Crystal ball is always wonky. But do you have any forecasts, things that you're expecting that are helping guide you and your team's investing decisions?
Yeah, yes, we do. And right now we're working through what we call our asset allocation review. And as I said, 90% of the money that we manage for our customers is in diversified funds, so like your balanced fund, conservative fund, growth funds, etc. And so the asset allocation settings is something we look at every year, at least every year. If we need to look at it more often, we will. But what this means is, you know, we're making decisions on how much we invest where and across what asset classes. So, you know, this is a decision around how much we put in shares, bonds, cash, infrastructure, etc., into those diversified funds and getting the mixes right. And it also considers geographies and currencies.
Wealth manager and KiwiSaver provider AMP puts its values, well-being, sustainability, and aspiration at the heart of everything they do. They believe in more than just protecting the environment. They're committed to building a thriving community and a sustainable future. AMP's investment philosophy focuses on sustainable, long-term growth, helping Kiwis achieve financial security. With a low-cost, diversified approach, they're making sure your investments perform well while supporting a healthier planet. Discover how AMP is making a difference for you and future generations. Visit amp.co.nz today. Life is full of ups and downs, so no matter what your everyday looks like, KiwiBank has the products and services to help you manage your money your way. To find out more, head to kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is KiwiBank.
So to help with this exercise, we look at forecasts. Forecasts on how markets are expected to do, how economies are expected to do. But the way we do it is we look out over 5 years. And, you know, with markets and with economics, the further you look out, the more certain you can be with your projections and more confident you can be. If you're trying to predict what's going to happen in the next day or next week, it's buying lotto tickets. The further you look out, the more certain that you can be with your forecast. So we look out 5 years and try and use a huge volume of economic and market data to think about where do we think markets will be in 5 years' time. And then that's how we pull together the settings for our diversified funds. And over the next 5 years, we think returns will be a bit more modest than they've been in the last couple of years. But as I said before, markets have been, you know, really strong. It's been abnormal. We think global shares will do better than shares in this part of the world, across Australia and New Zealand. But we think emerging markets will do better than developed markets. So, you know, Asia, South America, those emerging economies will perform stronger than your developed countries like the United States, you know, Europe, etc. We also think that there'll be some countries, sectors and companies who will continue to benefit from the AI transformation that's going on. And so these are the sorts of things that we think about in pulling together the asset allocations. On the income side of portfolios, we think bonds will deliver reasonable returns over that five-year forecast. And we particularly like bonds that have protection from inflation, because we don't think inflation is gone. It's still going to bubble around, and some of the things going on in the world at the moment can stimulate that inflation coming back. So getting the asset allocation right, in our view, is the biggest determinant of the returns that you can get. And there's a lot of empirical evidence and research that proves this relative to just trying to pick which companies or which shares of individual companies will do better versus another one. And it's not just about trying to put everything where the best return's going to be, because as to your point earlier, you know, the diversification of where you've got your savings exposed is really important. You know, looking for the sweet spots where your returns relative to your risks and getting that balance right between the different risk profiles so that, you know, customers can select funds that's suitable to their risk profile.
100%. And you mentioned something there about you see emerging markets as having a stronger run soon than some of the, you know, established countries. Tell me more about that. Why?
Well, a lot of the emerging countries around the world, so that, you know, you get the likes of China, India, Indonesia, Korea, Mexico, you know, they're emerging economies. They're growing. They've got a lot of population growth. Their economic growth is a lot higher than countries that are more mature and developed. And so that's sort of the foundation of those forecasts. They do come with a little bit more higher risk than a developed country like America or in Europe. So you're not going to put, you know, significant amounts of your portfolio in emerging markets and, you know, not in the US, because you want to get that diversification right. But they're the growth opportunities, and a lot of the technological advancements, are going to help economies like that. And, you know, there's a lot of building and infrastructure growth in those economies. When you look at those projected numbers for about 5 years, it's not hugely more than developed markets, but it's an area that we see opportunities in.
That's super interesting, because I do think the emerging economies do get overlooked a bit sometimes. And, you know, to build on your point there, I mean, if you think about it, even in terms of, people might not think of countries this way, but we often think of businesses this way, you know. When you're starting out and you're just getting going, there is that huge opportunity for growth. If we look back at something like Facebook back in the day, if you got in on the ground floor and there was that huge growth, I mean, amazing. There was also plenty of other Facebook challenges that may or may not have panned out. But if you got on the right one, then it's amazing. And it can be similar with countries. I mean, obviously, what you're doing here is there's many, many businesses there. But if those businesses are in the beginning stages, they are innovating, they are trying things. This is what you're saying here about the higher risk, higher reward. It might not always work out. That's what happens when you innovate. But if you do innovate and you do get it right, the reward is huge. And so if we're looking at these emerging economies and saying they don't have as many established businesses yet, they are trying things out, they are innovating, might not always work out, but spreading the money out across many of those companies in those emerging economies, then it could be really interesting. As you say, why are we just always thinking about investing in the US? This is the glorious thing about the share market. It's so easy to invest everywhere.
Yeah, well, the other thing about emerging countries or emerging markets, that they're actually geographically clustered quite close together. And so if you think about some of these geopolitical things going on at the moment, and there's a bit of a transformation going on there where countries are going to do more business with each other where they're close, their neighbours. And we saw that during the COVID period as well. As you know, so you think about Asia, they're going to do a lot more, you know, work together and trading between them in their geographic proximity. Same with South America and Central America. And so, you know, if some of these trade issues, you know, continue to emerge, and you start getting supply chain issues where, you know, moving goods around the world gets harder, you start doing more business with your neighbours. That risk or that problem is actually, you know, less of a problem in regions like Asia and South America.
Yeah, yeah. And we're almost out of time, but I want to include this one because I actually had several people send this to me. It's obviously on people's minds. One of the things people have been sending me lots of questions about is they're quite worried about war. Now, there are two major conflicts already underway, Gaza and Ukraine. And first of all, obviously, the first concern, the number one concern is for human life and hoping that, you know, things get underway and bring a solution for peace. But of course, this is also a show about your money and how we look after that. There's the secondary but very real impact on the rest of the world, on economies. So have these conflicts impacted investing strategies so far? If we see war break out elsewhere, does that change things again? What's happening here, do you think? People are worried.
Yeah, and we all agree that conflicts are horrible for humanity and the people directly involved or indirectly involved. Geopolitical risk is something we have been thinking about and talking a lot about in recent years. And that's just the power struggle between nations, geopolitical risk. But so far it has not really impacted investment markets. As I said before, markets have been, you know, very strong since, you know, the two conflicts that you mentioned. And, you know, I'm not saying that these conflicts have made markets perform well, but generally, markets haven't been that impacted. Now, we monitor geopolitical risk dashboards, you know, both in terms of, you know, how much attention markets are paying to these risks, but also what they might do if it does indeed occur, and predicted outcomes. And what we're seeing at the moment, it's not that worrying. We also have some very powerful tools that stress test our investments across a huge number of potential scenarios. We do this all the time, including things like conflicts and wars. And I actually ran some tests yesterday in relation to global conflicts and war on our balanced fund. And you know, the impacts are not projected to be as scary as what you might expect. And that intuitively sounds a bit odd, probably to most of your listeners. But what history actually tells us is that war often hurts parts of economies, but also strengthens other parts. And, you know, wars will spur a raft of spending. Governments spend a lot on defense. They spend a lot on protection. You know, that money is coming from government spending. And so, and there are parts of the economy that will benefit from that. You know, debt is probably more of an issue going through conflict periods. But obviously, if these sorts of conflicts turn into something far more dramatic, you know, like nuclear war, we're going to face something that we've never seen before. You know, we can look back over decades at conflicts, and, you know, often our worst fears are never realized. And I'm sure we'll agree that if that turns out, you know, in the current environment, that the world would be a better place with peace.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly we see a lot of saber rattling these days. It's not always followed up by action. And I certainly hope that that happens in a lot of these situations. Look, I think a lot of what we've talked about, there's a lot on at the moment, and there's a lot that could stress people out. But I feel like one of the main points that you've been making is thinking about sort of what stomach you have for risk in general. And it does often come back to that sort of thing of what is your investing strategy and looking at that quite long term, right? Is that sort of the bottom line to take from this?
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. That's why you should check that your portfolio is, you know, in accordance with your tolerance for risk and your risk profile, and the time frame that you're saving or investing for. You know, I always encourage people to keep focused on your goals. A bit like before, it's sort of focus on the horizon, not the waves. If you can stay focused on your goals and, you know, invest or save accordingly to those goals, in times where there's lots of news or noise, you got to keep focused on those goals because there are things that you can control. You can't control what's going on in markets or, you know, what's been said by politicians or, you know, what companies are doing. And I think key to that is sort of getting some help on it, getting some financial advice and making sure that you've got the settings right for your goals, and that'll help you sleep well, better at night and achieve the goals that you've set for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. The sleep well at night test is very important because all the money in the world will not be any good if you're waking up at 3 a.m. and worrying about it. Well, thank you so much. That is Aaron Klee from AMP giving us the inside word on investing when it's all getting a little bit hairy out there. Now, heaps of questions were included in this one. Honestly, we could have done a lot more. So if you do have more, I can always bring Aaron back. I mean, he explained that to my mind beautifully. So if you have more, send them through. We'll bring him back. We'll talk about this all again. So this, anything else to do with money, find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok as Francis Cook NZ. And also there's heaps more money content on there for you. But most importantly, don't forget to subscribe to Making Sense so you get even more tips and tricks with your money. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.